Log Talk Radio.
Well, now, the good news is now you have antibodies, so
I know.
You're all right.
I never lost my taste or anything. I got real lucky. I didn't have any aches or nothing. Like, the one day I was feeling sick was when we did the Sexual Jeopardy. And I don't think you could even tell on the video.
Mm-mm.
I had, like, a fever, but that was really it.
Do you still have the antibodies? Do you still do that test, Derek?
Yeah. It's like, all right, so the level of antibodies that's considered protective is 0.08 per milliliter. And I have 147.0 per milliliter.
Whoa.
And I went to I think I told Rob or one of you in chat, I went to a city MD, and the Russian nurse looked at my result and she was like, whoa, you have very good immune system, Blair. Like, I added the Blair, but she was seemed shocked. She said she's never seen that.
Wow. That's awesome.
I always had a good immune system. I never get really sick from things. I catch colds with probably the same frequency as everybody else, but I don't ever really get laid up, you know? I just fight stuff off.
Okay. I think I'm ready. If you guys want to start. Where's this
guy? Antibodies in a cup, Darren.
Well, they give people antibodies now. They gave antibodies to my mother when she got COVID.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they give you, if you're in a risk group, they infuse you with antibodies. And she got less sick than me. She never even had felt anything. She wouldn't have known she got COVID unless she tested.
By the way, Noah, there's something with your video connection. It's pretty weak.
It's a little blurry.
It is?
Yeah.
Better now. When you first came on, it was awful.
No, it's like whenever you move, your refresh rate is low. It's like there's something going on. Your internet connection has COVID.
Oh, no.
It just can't smell or taste that you're there, so it's not reacting correctly. Oh, we're not saying you have it, right? Okay.
Right. Also, I wanted something bring up. Like, the sale talks are getting pretty serious, so we should...
Metal injection?
Yeah, we should really start thinking about renaming the show.
Oh, okay.
And figuring out, like, what we're going to do.
And who is it that the buyer is?
I can't really say, but it's a big company. It's like a major league.
You can't tell us. This is the circle of trust.
We're going to scuttle the deal.
It doesn't really. Sony is buying this. The Orchard.
Wow.
Their distributor.
That's fucking awesome.
Damn.
Are you going to be independently wealthy?
It's a nice chunk of change, but it's not like...
Move here to Arizona. We'll go
the end of the world.
Anywhere else.
It's not like you can stop working, right?
Is it enough money...
I can
money,
stop working for a little bit.
Yeah.
Is it enough money to buy a humble restaurant on a military base in Virginia? You're
well,
the captain now.
No, I think...
Do you want to put the waiting room up? Or you have it?
It's on the way. Yeah, it's on.
And is
it's
my connection... good. I mean,
it's the same.
Fuck. I don't know what to do. I have to go restart my internet.
Well, we're already 10 minutes late, I think.
Just leave it?
I can see you. I've seen podcasts with much worse than that. What you?
Yeah, just don't move around.
I don't want to look bad.
Don't do the Harlem Shake.
Let me suggest this. Maybe during the interview, restart your internet, because, like...
That's when we'll talk.
It's just
going to
be that guy talking anyway, so it won't be as noticeable.
Okay.
Okay. Although, like, it's 6:10 and he's not here. What the hell?
I wanted to ask you, is this a good sound if I sit in a normal position like this, or do I have to do that?
It was good. It's better the second way, but it was also good the first way. It wasn't bad.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Shall we?
This meeting is being recorded.
Okay, here we go.
Go! This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Weezer released a cover of Enter Sandman on James Hetfield's birthday today. What a gift that is. For Rob's birthday, I'm going to recreate every episode of Squared Circle Pit and Pig Latin. Because that is also a great gift that says, Happy Birthday, you piece of garbage. The Metal Injection live cast starts now.
Thank you, Chuck.
Boy, oh boy, that's vile. He hates you.
Well, he's saying. He's going to be trying to make a comparison.
How much, yeah, that's how much Weezer must hate James Hetfield.
Mm. Equivalent to the amount that Chuck hates Rob. That's his point of emphasis.
I'd be interested in a Squared Circle Pit Pig Latin edition.
Sure. Can
it's like the Spanish announce table version.
What about an SAP button for Squared Circle Pit?
Yeah. Broaden the horizons, Rob. Do it.
And welcome to the show.
Yeah, the lovely Noah's with us.
Hey.
Hello. I had to update my Zoom, so.
Hi. I thought it was a mirage for a second, like you were there and then you weren't there. I thought I imagined it.
No, it's real, Darren.
Ooh, she said it sexily.
Very sexily. Noah was in Mexico last week. That's why she didn't join us in the lovely city of Tulum.
Mm-hmm. Did you smuggle any drugs back?
No, but I was really surprised that, like, the pharmacy, you can get so many over-the-counter drugs, which I did not know that about Mexico.
Yeah.
So like what?
Like steroids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anthrax. That's definitely a thing.
Yeah, anthrax. You can get...
Could you get, like, mood stabilizers, like Adderall?
Yes,
or...
yes.
Are you asking for a friend, Rob?
No, I'm asking for myself. Get some over-the-counter Adderall. Yeah, I've heard stories of like MMA fighters or whatever who live in California or San Diego just driving down to get their medicine.
It's got to be safe, you know, travel to Mexico and get some drugs.
Well, traveling to Mexico as an American seems pretty safe. It's
no, I meant the drugs you get, not the experience of traveling.
Oh, well, I mean, you're at a pharmacy. Was it unsafe at the pharmacy now?
Okay.
Or do you mean the drugs themselves are
unsafe? The drugs themselves.
I see.
You got there the third time.
Everything was safe except for when the gang member tried to get us to join some kind of ring. I didn't really understand what he was saying.
You got some MS-13 confrontations down there?
You got a neck tattoo now.
Oh, actually, yeah, he did brand me with something. It was very strange. Didn't understand.
Let's see. Show the audience.
Okay. Whoa. Area.
Yeah. Show me on the doll where they branded you.
Where's the tuchus?
Oh. That's a drop.
How are you? Okay, well, Sid is in Texas. I didn't hear Bland, but I assume he talked about Sid.
No.
No, he talked about the weekly cover of Metallica's Enter Sandman. No, it's not a good birthday. By the way, happy birthday, James Hetfield.
How old is he?
Friend of the show, 58, I think. Let me
I guess that feels right.
Yeah,
right.
I think he looks good for 58. And I guess
mean, 58 that took a fucking firework to the face. Good for
well,
that.
He always had those acne craters too. He always looked like the man in the moon a little bit.
Yeah. From all that meth.
Is that right? Did he do
probably
meth? Did he get it in Mexico?
I do not believe he's done meth. I believe he's done he's an alcohol kind of guy.
He's done so much drugs, like, just handed to him that he's probably done meth by accident, at least.
Yeah.
Is he a drugs guy? I didn't think. Like, I feel like Lars is the drugs guy. He's just the booze guy.
He didn't do drugs. Didn't he write Master of Puppets about doing coke and all heroin and all that stuff?
It doesn't mean it's biographical.
Yeah, but I thought the whole point was it's so personal. That's why it's such a great, you know, magnum opus thing. I don't know. Could be wrong. I thought he did all that shit.
I assume so.
Yeah.
There's a Quora. Did James Hetfield ever use drugs?
Well, yes, alcohol. No, maybe so.
One answer. It says it doesn't seem to be with any illicit substances. Lars struggled with cocaine addiction a few years ago, but it seems that James's drug of choice is alcohol. It is not known if he has experimented with any illegal drugs, as he was vague in interviews about this.
Wow, I considered myself a mega Metallica fan, and I did not know that.
But he has confirmed he hasn't ever touched cocaine or heroin and has never acquired a dependence on anything but alcohol. How do they say heroin in on the wire?
Heron?
Heron, thank you. I was like, what's the fun way to say heroin?
I think that means it's about time to rewatch the series. Do you forget how they say stuff?
I rewatched it a few years ago. Very good on the second time around, just as much, just because, like, the first time you don't know where it's going, so you're like strapped in for the ride. The second time, you do know where it's going, so you really pick up on how much foreshadowing they do about everything, and it's like it's mind blowing how great they are about it. One of the best written shows ever, ever. What are the other two for you?
Breaking Bad. And, I mean, probably, I guess The Sopranos has to be in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
or Mad Men. Maybe Better Call Saul, depending on how it wraps up.
I just consider Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad one big show.
Yeah.
I can't break them up.
Yeah. I agree. And also, like, I'm so impressed with the last season of Better Call Saul, just how into it I got, like, how... I'm just like, I need to know where this is going right
I
away.
I know. Yeah.
It's better. I have to say it's better than Breaking Bad. I'm sorry. And they're both great, but I connect more with Better Call Saul.
I think it's a different type of show. It's more cerebral, whereas like the last few seasons of Breaking Bad were like an action movie. Like it was just, I just remember having almost an anxiety attack at the end of every episode of like, oh my God, what's going to happen?
Same thing with Better Call Saul, I feel like. They just do it in a slightly different vector, but it's...
I think also with Better Call Saul, it took like two or three seasons to get to like the faster pace. And to be clear, at first I kind of hated the slow pace, but by the end of the first season, I was like, oh my God, they set this up so good.
Yeah. Meticulous.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
I just think
they
outdid themselves. I think they had Breaking Bad over here, and they just said, we're going to heighten this, and they just heightened
it. They knew what not to do, so it was like a cleaner path to where they were going.
And Breaking Bad's great. I don't think I'm disparaging that show. It's fantastic. If I had to rank them, I would say Sopranos is my number one written show ever, in terms of the writing only.
I think it's been long enough.
Haven't seen The Sopranos?
I've seen it like three times over. It might be time to go on my fourth viewing. It's been so long now, and I feel like in the last year or two, Sopranos memes have kind of become a bigger thing.
Yeah.
And so it really makes me like long for the show. Because I think even in some of the later seasons, which I'm not sure if I like, some I liked, some I didn't like. Or maybe the middle of it is where I didn't really like it, like where the storylines kind of veer off. There's still such great little moments, and like the characters are so good that even though the main storylines might be kind of lame, it still draws you in. Like I'm thinking maybe like season 4 and 5, like where it kind of...
Whichever season finale is just Uncle Junior singing.
Yes!
I remember being so angry that was the way they wrapped that season up.
Yes, but, that was a funeral with like Meadow being upset about
I decided over time that I really love the ending now. Like I feel like I hated it when it first aired. I was really angry, and I think it just makes perfect sense now, which is very well done.
All they needed was to have like the HBO logo in the corner and not a fully black screen, because you don't want people thinking their cable went out.
Which is what Sid thought.
Yeah. In the moment, I didn't like it.
Really?
But then, like, the next day, once I realized what it was, I was fine with it.
Yeah, we were watching it together, I remember. Yeah. And so the final scene is a blackout. Like, I'm not spoiling anything.
No spoilers, yes.
But, the scene just blacks out. And for many people, like Sid, the reaction was like, wait, what? Did my cable fall? Like, did my cable break? Like, what's going on? Because it was dead silence. There was no music, you know? So it could conceivably be. And also, we had a shitty cable company that was notorious for blackouts.
Yeah.
So it's a total possibility until the credits showed up. And I agree. I hated it at first. I wanted something definitive. But then as I thought about it and I kind of read a few things and I was just like, oh, I see what they were going for. It's not like nothing would have been satisfying. So they had to do what they did.
I think it's also just the ambiguity of like he because of that life, like he's never going to be able to just sit in a diner. And
that's exactly, that's what I realized. Like you are basically in his shoes there. And like what you felt is how he feels all the time.
Right.
And now we get also, this prequel movie that's coming out pretty soon, right?
I guess that's kind of also why I wanted to rewatch it. Although I think the prequel movie is not going to be good. It's going to be okay.
My hopes are low. I'll watch it and hope for the best, but
I'm expecting I feel the ceiling of how good it could be is El Camino.
Yeah.
Like it's not ever going to evoke that Breaking Bad, but it's going to be decent and watchable. But the only thing is with El Camino, you had Aaron Paul in it.
Yeah, exactly.
An actor that I don't really trust very much, even though he is the guy's son and looks like him. I don't really necessarily trust it.
Yeah. 100% agree.
Well, you know, we sure like talking about TVs and movies a lot. And if you like hearing us talking about them and would like to support the show, the best way to do it is to join our Patreon. Patreon.com/Metal Injection Livecast. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes a month. You get access to the video versions of our episodes, which is every week. And you get some cool little bonus stuff like Sid as a TV show column. And we post some other stuff occasionally.
Rob posts nudes once in a while when he's feeling sassy.
Yeah,
Sid, are you ever going to post a collage of Rob's nudes the way you tile his other pictures behind you as your video background?
I don't give that away for free. That maybe on a bonus episode I'll do that.
Good idea.
No, Sid is saving that for when Rob sets up his OnlyFans. He's ready to go.
Are we going to review Rob's OnlyFans on our Patreon?
Oh,
that would be amazing.
I would do it.
I guess I'll do it for this show.
No, it's like Holiday. You would need it in your personal life, but.
And it will heavily involve Holiday.
My only
his toes into the Holiday tray.
It's non-nude. That's my, so it's a lot of fetish stuff like that.
It's nude from the knees down.
Are you doing ASMR stuff on your OnlyFans?
Yeah, I'm eating bujanina. I'm eating various Russian foods.
Yeah, the slopping sounds of Rob is ASMR.
Yes, eat the haladiets into the mic. I slurp on it.
Ugh.
You describe the chunks of meat that you're putting in your mouth.
I feel like that'll send people to suicide.
Oh, no.
Anyway, Patreon, everyone.
On our Patreon, we just posted a brand new episode a few days ago. It is a roundtable discussion that Sid, Darren, and I did about the awful new Space Jam movie. I guess it's not even awful. It's just there.
Oh, I thought it was awful.
It's plenty awful.
Can I say this was one of my favorite ones to do? And we had just had so many layers of shit in this movie. You think it's just kind of a cash grab, and it is. And it's just a Warner Brothers cash grab. But having said that, there's so many layers and layers of shit going on. There's 19 things going on at any given time in this movie, and we covered every single one of them. And it took over an hour.
Did you talk about how the director of the original trashed this one too? Did you know that?
He briefly mentioned it, yes. But this guy's a fucking commercial director. Like, who the fuck is he? It's not like it's Martin Scorsese.
Wow.
Criticizing.
Well, I mean, he's the guy from the original one, so I thought maybe he had some kind of credit.
Jim Jarmusch really hated Space Jam, too.
He was in one of the crowd shots.
Oh, okay. It was like a guy in terrible makeup to sort of look like Jim Jarmusch, but didn't.
And Roberto Benigni. Hanging out.
In addition to we have a ton more episodes in addition to the Space Jam review. We did an episode last month that I really enjoyed called One Star Reviews, where we find the best or worst maybe one star reviews of objectively classic albums from artists like Ozzy, Black Sabbath, Metallica, and Megadeth. And also we did the reverse. We found 5-star reviews of objectively bad albums from those artists like Saint Anger and Lulu. And that was a very, very fun chat. Very unlike a lot of episodes we typically do. So it's just a very unique episode.
And I guess they weren't objectively bad if there were some five-star reviews, eh?
And also, previously we did a watch-along of the Chris Holmes documentary, Mad Men, which...
Mean Man.
I'm sorry. Which, even if you don't watch with us, seek out this documentary, because it is... Wow. It is just... That's all I can say. Wow. Tons of stuff in the archives. We did a watch-along of the Danzig horror movie. We did a watch-along of Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. Like I mentioned, the video episodes. We did a roundtable on the wrestling movie Beyond the Mat, which was really, really fun to do. And we've also, for our longtime fans, we've done a few episodes we call the Live Cast Meme Hall of Fame, where, you know, we revisit memes from years past, like 5-10 years ago, that we haven't talked about in a while, and we revisit them. And I feel like when we do those, we always learn something new about, you know, the Queen of Vagina, Mike Francesa, we did a whole episode on, Shlomo. There's plenty of them. So tons of content, tons of free stuff, all in our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. And if you don't have the $5, but you still want to support us, you could still do so without giving us money. You could do so by following us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter, or leaving us a review on your podcast platform of choice. That really helps us out. So thank you for listening. We love you. And we're going to keep doing the show. This isn't a sign-off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's
not
like one.
There's still plenty of show. I just wanted to say we love you, okay?
On the top Friday or something. Sid barbecue. What?
Yeah, so Sid, you're in Texas. We can tell by the farm in the background.
Well, this isn't even a farm. I'll start off with this. These are what are known as guinea fowls. And
that's insensitive.
Is that a slur?
That's I've been having a lot of fun this weekend being very problematic when discussing them, but they are everywhere in my mother-in-law's neighborhood, and they are a very disturbing morning wake-up call, because the sounds they make is like, the closest thing I could compare it to is like if you're like at a mechanic shop and he's like working on a car with a wrench and just like, that's what it sounds like at full fucking blast at like 7 a.m. to wake up to this sound. And they are fucking hideous creatures. Like, look at these things. Yeah. They're like uglier turkeys. They look so wrong.
Do they move when you walk near them?
Huh?
Or are they not afraid? Do they move when you're near them, or are they not afraid?
They don't seem particularly afraid. They do not seem particularly afraid. But yeah, the other day I did turn to my brother-in-law at one point and very angrily said, "I wish you brought your gun so you could kill some of these dirty guineas." And the rest of the people around did not get why that was hilarious and wrong to say. But I figured, let me at least say this out loud, so when I tell the story on the podcast, I'm not bullshit. So I did say it out loud.
So they just walk around and like annoy people?
Yes.
They don't belong to a person or something?
No, they're just out and about in like backyards and in the streets and looking fucking weird. And yeah, so that's a creature that I've discovered is a thing that hangs around residential neighborhoods in Texas sometimes. But yeah, so the big highlight of the trip was the trip to Snow's Barbecue in Lexington, Texas, which we got up at around 3 a.m. So we flew in Friday. We got to the house probably around like 4, 5 o'clock, went to bed maybe 10, 11, got up at 3 a.m. to drive like hour and a half to Lexington, Texas. So we got there at around 5 a.m. The place opens at 8. So we got there at 5. There already were 130 people in line ahead of us when we got there at 5 a.m.
What? That's insane.
But thankfully, and we didn't get to the door of the place till 9:15 maybe. So we waited over 4 hours.
Where were you waiting? Like outside in the street or what?
Yeah, basically there's like a little backyard area. People brought it. Thank God. Like, cause it was like high 90s the whole week. But since we were there like early in the morning, it was like mid 70s. It was breezy. Oh. So it was comfortable. Yeah. We brought chairs. Everybody brought chairs. Some people brought tents. It was like a whole thing. There were some people that were there from 11 o'clock the previous night. The people up front got there at 11 the previous night.
So were they sleeping? Were they up? Like, I don't get it. How?
I guess they slept. Everybody's just very trusting to not get robbed in their sleep.
I remember, like, when I was working at Sirius, and across the street is where people would wait for SNL tickets. Mm. And, like, people would camp there a day in advance, just, like, in the street in Midtown.
Man.
Filthy. But
yeah,
I guess
yeah, I remember stepping over those people. Yeah, going into Sirius.
Not only is filthy, the prize for doing that is to watch an episode of SNL. It's like punishment.
And also, that's free on TV every week.
Yeah.
You could stay home and get the same product.
I think also, I feel like the people that are waiting, I guess they're waiting for the comedy, but I feel like when those lines get really crazy is when they have like an artist like BTS or One Direction and then all the pop fans, stans, as the kids say, show up.
Harry Styles.
So did the time move slow or fast or like how did it, you were waiting for a few hours there.
It moved slow, but not as slow as I feared. Like I wasn't like by the time we got to the front, I was still like excited for the experience. I wasn't like, I don't care how this tastes. I just want to get the hell out of here. It wasn't that bad. So then the people around us online were pleasant. They played the owner of the place came out and they did like a raffle. Like every 100 people in line, there was a new raffle for that group. Like if whatever number you are, you get to skip the line, you get to skip ahead or you get a free t-shirt or like some free barbecue sauce. We missed out by one. We were 129 and 130 and number 131 won a free t-shirt. I bought a t-shirt anyway though, with the lady who's the pit master at the place, Tootsie. She's 87 years old.
Wow.
She shows up at like, she was already there working when we got there. She shows up probably like 2 a.m. to start the fires and stuff. And she was working pretty much the whole fucking time we were there other than to come out and like pose for pictures with customers. Cause there's like a Netflix show about her. She's like world famous at this point. And it's just insane. 87. And during the week she works as a custodian in the fucking local high school. It's insane. It's
so
insane.
Wait, this is only open on the weekend?
It's only open Saturdays. That's it. Saturdays,
wow.
8 a.m. to whenever they sell out.
Wow.
And were you there when they sold out? Like, did you?
When we got up, the only thing they were sold out of was chicken. So we got everything else. And it was all great. Sausage was great. The brisket was great. The turkey. They have turkey, which you wouldn't think. Like, who would get turkey at a barbecue?
It's probably one of those guinea birds.
Oh, my God. No, I would not have gotten that. I would have walked out. But the turkey was fantastic. The ribs, Rob, the ribs. Oh, my God.
Was the turkey smoked or something? Like, what?
Yeah,
how is
everything
it?
Smoked. Yes, it is. Mm. Yeah, it was really good. The size of the potato salad was tremendous. Yeah, and the line moves so slow that there's never, even though there's hundreds and hundreds of people, there's always seating available because the line moves at a pace where there's never like too many people ready to eat at the same time. It's so slow that people get in and out in the proper amount of time that you can get seating right when you get your food. Yeah, it was nice. And it was crazy because I guess there was like a livestock place nearby because like trailers with cows kept coming and going down the street. It's like, man, the meat here is so fresh. We're bringing in the cows as we stand here.
So it was worth it ultimately.
Yes, yeah. Just for the experience. And like at her age, like when I come back here next year, she might either be retired or dead. Like the odds are pretty good. So this is like literally a once in a lifetime experience for me probably. I checked it off. I don't know that I need to do it a second time anyway.
I was going to ask. So if she is alive next year and you come back, would you do it again?
Probably not. I mean, it was very, very, very good barbecue. I don't know that it's as good as the best I've ever had in my life. I don't know if it stands alone as the best I've ever had in my life. I don't.
It's not enough better than the rest in order to wait for that fucking line.
Yeah. Not a second time. Correct.
Yeah. That's how, there was a place when I went to Austin, there was a place like that called Franklin.
Yes. That's the one I want to try, but they're closed this week.
Okay. I was going to say, cause yeah, I would never be able to do it. Cause it was the same thing. People would line up. Like I would wake up at 7:00, like just trying to find coffee or whatever. And I'd pass it. And there's already a line of like 50 people and, you know, it's impossible. You know, they basically sell out by noon.
Yeah.
I was never able to get it.
That's the next one that I would like to check off the list. And I figure, like, if you say at 7 there was a line of 50 people, that's a lot better than at 5 there's a line of 107
yeah.
people. So
yeah,
maybe,
I guess
I can hand. I know I'm up for that task now. So
although it has been a few years, so it might be more popular now. Who knows? You know,
I'll
I haven't.
Find out.
Yeah. So well,
Rob, you can take your metal injection money and get yourself an assistant and tell your assistant to go stand on the line.
Mm. You're one of the metal trucks,
guess...
dudes. Get Axel to stand on the line for you.
Squat. Oh, maybe like hire a task rabbit, right?
Yeah, there you go.
I'm sure all people right. do that already. I'm sure that's definitely a thing at these places.
I mean, if I needed money, I would go stand on lines for people.
That's definitely a thing in like elections, right? Like I've definitely heard about that. People.
That sounds like voter fraud, Rob. What are you trying to say?
To vote. No, you basically they hold your place in line and then you come and you take it.
So another $25, just give them and they can just go in and vote for you. Like, why even show
like,
up?
I feel like if you have enough money to do that, then you don't vote. You just pay the politicians directly and they do what you want.
There you go.
So you're not bothering with the TaskRabbit stuff?
How much are these TaskRabbits? Jesus Christ. $100,000?
Different rates.
Yeah,
Rob, tell us. I've never used it.
I haven't used TaskRabbit. I've only heard good things. TaskRabbit, by the way, is a kind of like an Uber for tasks. So like, You could either hire a handyman to come over and fix it. Enter promo code LiveCat. No, you don't.
It's like handy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So, was it more or less than your little tiny car that you used to rent? The TaskRabbit. The rate.
Oh, I've never hired a TaskRabbit.
Oh.
It depends on the situation. Like if you just need them to hang up a picture frame, I think that's like $5-$10. But if you need them to install a television, it's like $50-$100.
Yeah.
Like,
I had Handy to clean my house a couple of times.
You get a Handy?
A Handy when you got your house cleaned?
I didn't. Fortunately, I was not impressed with the job, so I would not expect a good Handy to be produced either.
That's $15 extra.
That's it?
Yeah.
Boy, and I bet Handy takes like $8.95 out of that too.
Bastards.
$7 hand job.
No title.
$7 Handy. We'll keep it PG.
Okay. Well, that. So, any other fun Texas stuff, or that's basically the.
Yeah, I mean, the only other highlight is one of my nieces keeps calling me Grandpa.
Oh.
5 years old. For some reason, she thinks I'm her grandpa, even though they keep telling her, no, that's Uncle Sid. She just keeps calling me Grandpa.
Well, you just look like a grandpa.
Yeah. I'm fine with it. She sees right through me. I can't even argue.
I think that would be a cute nickname for you, Grandpa.
Grandpa Sid?
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm good with that. I'm
Gramps.
I don't know about Gramps. That's too casual.
Granddad Sid.
Grand Sid? No, that sounds like I'm a clan or something.
Grand Wizard
the Grand, Sid. Yeah, I'm the Grand Sid.
The Grand Wizard Sid. Appearing on the next Demons and Wizards album.
Is that a band?
You and John Schaefer? That's
oh,
John Schaefer.
Oh, no.
And Hanzi.
Maybe I'll take his place.
Well,
Hanzi
quit.
Stuff.
Hanzi
I know, I know. So there you go, Sid. There's an opening for you.
Is that
Grand
Arthur Hanzarelli that you're talking about?
No,
no.
Hanzi, what's his face? I don't remember his last name from Blind Guardian.
Gaetan Dugas.
I'll start a band with that guy. He's definitely toward the world.
Gaetan Dugas.
I wonder what that lady thinks about vaccinations and pandemics and stuff. Where's that lady right now?
Children can be eliminated.
That's
okay. Oh, no. Only if they call you grandpa when you're not a grandpa.
He ruptured intestines as his partner became a corpse.
She sounds like a kindergarten teacher. I love
I
it so much.
She's so endearing.
Broken bones and manslaughter every minute.
We want to hear your barbecue experiences. Give us a call, 213-WIDENUT, 213-943-3688.
I had a segment I wanted to do. Unfortunately, it's not ready, but I did have a colonoscopy this past week on Friday.
Are we going to do a watch-along?
Well, no, I had a colonoscopy 6 months ago. This was like a follow-up to make sure everything's still working properly. And the first time I had it, you know, they're in there moving things around and looking, and you build up a big air pocket, and it hurts. Like, when you're done, you have really bad gas pain for like an hour. And they said, oh, don't worry, you'll fart, you know, it'll come out. And it was taking longer than they said. It took like probably 90 minutes. And I was just laying in my bed, and finally it all just came out in a flood, like just, you know, not human sounding. It was almost like a air being let out of a tire. It didn't smell at all. It was just trapped air and just these inhuman sounds.
I wish you would have recorded.
Well, that's the end of the story, is that I also wish that I had recorded it. So when I was going for my next colonoscopy, I did record it. I recorded a bunch of farts. But they have to be transferred to MP3s, and I didn't do that yet. So this is a
teaser.
This is a teaser. For next week, I will have that ready to go, and we can play some of my – but unfortunately, I want to preface this by saying they weren't as good as last
week.
They were long. They were probably – there was a couple in there that were like 10 seconds. But last time, literally like 40-second farts. Literally, like no exaggeration.
Wow. That must have been such a relief.
Oh, my God. You have no idea, because it was instant. It was like pain, like consistent pain for like about over an hour. And then instantly, once I farted, gone. Just gone. It was a series of about 10 farts over about 3 minutes.
I was wondering, did the doctor actually say you're going to fart it all out? Did they use the term fart?
Pass it. Like, yeah, what was
no, that? Well, the doctor, it was like all the aides and everything, the nurses and stuff.
There were people there with AIDS?
Maybe. It's possible. I wasn't made aware of that.
Was in the recovery room next to yours.
Gatan Dugas.
No, they just said, you know, I told – it actually wasn't even brought up to me, except that I went up to them and said, I'm having a lot of gas pain. And they said, oh, don't worry. I think it was normal. Like, that happens to everybody. And they said, you'll pass it. This time, the guy was like sort of a young, hip guy. And he was just like, you know, you could fart. It'll make you feel better. You know, it's like, don't, he's basically saying, don't worry about doing it here, because they hear it all the time, you know. So I was like, yeah, I would love to. I just can't. He's like, I just can't yet. He's like, oh, okay. Well, just let it rip, you know, when you have to. It's okay.
When was the last time you got to sell someone in a professional setting that you would love to fart?
That's a good question. I don't know. Yeah, never. I couldn't enjoy it because I was so miserable, but it's a good point. It should have been fun.
Next time you go back, just make sure to savor it.
But in case you're wondering, I don't have ass cancer.
Good. Very good.
I had some polyps removed, which they say is like fairly normal, and they're called precancerous, which means if you leave them in there, they turn into cancer. But that's why you get regular colonoscopies, and they're not – I guess people who are like vegans and, you know, world-class athletes would not get those polyps, but the majority of regular people get those polyps. And it's from not eating a perfect diet and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you get them out, and then you have to go keep going back and checking. So he said come back in 3 years. But I also eliminated beef from my diet, all red meat, no goat, no more goat, which I love.
Aww.
Love goats, no pork. I just eat poultry for meat, chicken.
Why no pork? Is it the same?
Pork is a red meat. Yeah, it's the same. The same issues that exist with beef exist with pork.
Hold on. I was told it was the other white meat.
That's right.
Total marketing campaign.
Marketing, yeah.
It worked.
They lied to you.
Yeah.
It is. I think when they say it's the other white meat, they mean like it's like light and tastier and like tastier than beef, similar to chicken in that way, which I agree with. Like, I do like pork in that sense. Like, I feel like when I want something more light, I'm not going to eat a steak. I'll have like some roast pork or something. But as far as ass cancer, it's the same.
More paired meal for
I had some marinated pork belly this weekend, and it was like just unbelievable. Like,
way to rub it in, Rob.
Rub that belly.
I haven't really been eating beef at all either. It's kind of a special occasion thing.
Yeah.
And then I recently went to a Brazilian steakhouse. Obviously,
Fogo de Chão?
Breaking the fast. It was, I don't remember the name, but it was on, I believe, 49th Street.
I think
in the
that's
city.
It. That's a good one. I have, we went
It's a Churrascaria Plataforma.
Oh, Churrascaria.
I think Churrascaria Plataforma.
I think we went to the, I don't know if Noah was there. I think all of us, a bunch of us went to Fogo de Chão when we were in Anaheim. We went to NAMM together.
Eight.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I think you did go, Noah. You did go, right?
I don't remember.
You were
know.
On the trip. I don't know why you wouldn't have come with us.
No, she went separately. She met us there at NAMM. She wasn't with
us. How do you remember? I do not remember any of that.
Because that was such a good restaurant.
Because I remember we would keep meeting up. We weren't like always. We were just like.
I've been to Fogo de Chão in Puerto Rico. So I'm familiar with it. It was delicious.
But the point I was making is just by not having beef for so long, and then I had it, like with the first taste, I felt my body reacting to it.
Yeah.
Like
in
oh.
what way?
Like Boner? Not like, oh my God, this is, I mean, look, it was great. But then the, you know, the, like the devil on my shoulder is like, yeah, keep eating. This is awesome. But then like the health conscious angel on my shoulder is like, oh my God, just this one bite has so much fat and butter and cholesterol. And like, I could taste all of it and it's all you can eat. And they just keep coming around and like, kind of like pushing it on you because they want to get rid of what's on their thing.
Their stick.
And you
just have
like,
the pineapple. Just have the cooked pineapple for a few turns.
I mean, I definitely feel like I got my money's worth, but
I'm definitely going to go to a steakhouse for my birthday and like, you know, maybe do it once a year. That won't kill you.
Yeah. I feel like that's the way to I feel as a society, we need to start treating, I guess I have burgers occasionally. But I not even that much. But I feel like we should really start treating red meat as a treat, as like a special occasion type thing, and not something to do daily.
I actually came around a little bit on Impossible Burgers. I still think if it's not slathered in stuff, I still taste the plant, and I'm not a big fan of it.
Oh yeah, it's all about how you garnish it.
Sure. I had a Burger King Whopper with Impossible Burger. It was like pretty halfway decent. Because you can't taste it. You just taste the Whopper. You taste all the Whopper fixings or whatever.
The coating.
But you still, your mouth perceives the protein in there and feels like a burger. So.
Yeah, I think the Impossible Whopper is fine. It's decent. I mean, it's the best vegetarian burger I've had at a fast food chain. I prefer Beyond Burgers to Impossible Burgers, though. I really like how they're made.
I tried making Beyond Burger in my... in my like kitchen and I hated it. And I, you know, not to kiss my own ass, but I make pretty insanely good burgers. So I don't feel
what didn't you like about it?
It just really tastes very planty. You know what I mean? Like I don't mind. I know it's inevitable that they can't get rid of all the plant taste cause it's a plant, but it's just overwhelming to me.
For me, it's just I've kind of mentally accepted, like, this is not a burger. This is a Beyond Burger. It's its own thing. And I actually crave it now. I look forward to it. I have it, like, once a week. I like them. I like them a lot.
I've been having forcing myself to go one day vegetarian every week. I know it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen, like, 7 days. I'm sure of that. I'm not trying to be negative. I just can't.
Yeah. But I think that's yeah, exactly. Like, you – as long as you're making an effort, I feel that that's good. It's very hard for me to say that I will be like a strict vegetarian ever, but I realize that like I, for my health and for the betterment of the world, I have to be more of a plant-based eater as the new terminologies. And yeah, most of my meal, not most, my breakfast is vegetarian. I don't have any meat for breakfast. And a lot of my lunches are as well. I just have like a soup or something. But then dinner, I got to get the protein. So that's a little diet talk on the Metal Injection Livecast.
While we're talking about food, I'd just like to endorse this soda that I've been having down here. It's called
Dr. B.
Dr. B. It's only available at the HEB, which is like the big supermarket chain down here. So if you have an HEB anywhere near you, get the Dr. B. It's like a Dr. Pepper cream soda, but smoother. Mm. Wonderful.
It looks like the can says Dr. IB, like irritable bowel.
Yeah,
it sort of does. Damn,
not far from it.
These damn guineas are blocking the soda can. There it is.
Hey, Dr. IB. There you go.
Quite good, though.
They make Dr. Pepper with cream soda now. It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's so good.
I'm saying this is the better
product. It's been a year. But yeah.
I love how you were just talking about plant-based diet and everything, and yet you're drinking a Dr. Pepper creamed soda.
It's a treat. I don't have it ever.
First.
If your product has cream on the label, Rob is on board.
Yeah.
He's a sucker for cream.
Nice. To be clear, I have like a soda once every other week. Like it's very, I drink seltzer and water mostly. I've cut virtually all soda out of my, I will say like Saturday is like all bets are off day for me. So it's like, while I have these dietary restrictions on Saturday, if I want a Dr. Pepper, gosh darn it, I'm having a Dr. Pepper with cream soda. I want a burger, I'm having a burger. And then I reset and it works well for me. I'm still, my weight loss has been maintained. So
I'm excited about it. You get any feedback from that barbecue restaurant just now?
That's what that was. Yeah. That sound. Well, I will say my Texas trips are like the absolute worst health weekends of my life. Like, it's barbecue, it's fried food, it's fast food every meal. It's soda with every meal and in between meals. It's just, my mother-in-law is very welcoming and she'll stock the, she has a separate fridge in the garage that is just filled with multiple kinds of soda. And then there's every kind of
drive-through.
Texas has
their own soda.
Huh?
Yeah. Texas has their own fancy sodas too.
Yeah. Big Red. We drink a lot of, but then she also gets like Diet Coke and ginger ale for me, 'cause she knows I like those too.
Oh,
so did it ever cross your mind to just be like, no, thank you.
No.
No water.
It does. But then I don't do it. But then I'm like, oh, but there's so many and it would be rude not to have one. And I'm on vacation. I should treat myself. So let's just pound more of this sugar into my fucking veins.
I was worried about you.
And slather barbecue sauce all over my corpse.
It's so hard to resist the soda when going to fast food. Because it's like, I go because I want to pig out on like a burger and fries or whatever, or chicken fingers and fries or whatever. And then, you know, you get the combo. And sometimes I don't even want a soda. I just wanted a seltzer. And some machines now don't even have the seltzer option. The soda water option.
Oh, can I tell you a story? I just recently, I was doing like just trying to get 10,000 steps or whatever. And it was one of those hot days that just happened. It was probably like 95 degrees about 3 weeks ago. And I passed by a McDonald's. So I went into McDonald's because I wanted to get like a 32-ounce seltzer with ice, you know. And those machines don't have seltzer as an option. So you have to actually go and talk to the person. McDonald's, if you don't know, is all machines now. Like you just have it's a push button menu on the touch screen. So I go up to the front because I know they don't offer you seltzer. And I go, hi, can you make seltzer come out of that machine there? If so, I'll take a large one. And she just looked at me like I was an alien. Like, what? Sasser? So she never heard the word. So I was like, you know, club soda, carbonated water, like whatever you.
Sparkling water.
Soda
sparkling water. I don't think so. And then she asked, can you ask that guy over there? Like, you know, he looks a little bit authoritative, you know. And the guy comes over and he did this the same. I was like, do you have seltzer? And he had his mask on, but his whole eyes just went, what the fuck? Like, and I said, I couldn't help saying, I was like, is this like an absurd question for me to ask seltzer and to have carbonated water in a McDonald's? Am I asking something ridiculous?
Like they absolutely do have the carbonated water because they need it to make the soda.
Right.
Just get rid of the syrup.
That's the next thing I said. I said, how are you making the soda without carbonated water? And he just kind of stared at me. And then I just turned around, did you turn and walk out?
Did you have the same experience in Dallas when you
in
went there?
Dallas,
for
but I understand it in Dallas because they did. Seltzer's a New York thing. Like everybody drinks fucking.
Yeah, I've had experiences like that as well. But yeah, Popeyes is the biggest criminal with that. They don't have the soda water tab on the Sprite, and it makes me mad because their soda options are very limiting. Because it's like I feel like having the soda. Look. Again, being a little more diet conscious, having the soda feels like a waste of stomach space
for me. You know, like it's just it's filling you up when you could be
get some iced tea,
stuffing some food in there. The iced tea, I mean, if it's unsweetened, sure, but if it's not, it's just the sugar fills you up. You don't want the sugar.
When I lapse and I put sugar in my body, I feel like such shit. Like I feel like it looks so fucking good. Like a few weeks
ago. It's my biggest addiction.
There was this Chinese bakery that's like on a path that I walk frequently. And they have these cream puffs that are just like fucking orgasm. It's just like soft and the cream they use, I don't know what's in it, but it's just insanity. And I just get two little cream puffs. And the second I bite into it, I'm like, what the fuck did I do to myself? Like even my mental state of mind goes down. Like when I put that sugar inside my body, like, I just feel like there's something chemical going on in my brain. And just like saying, fuck you. Why are you putting this in here? You know, mm-hmm. So I just stopped. I haven't been eating that stuff. I lapsed a couple of times and, you know, had a cake or something, but I got to force myself not to. That's the one thing that I cannot lapse on, like even once. Like I can eat a steak, you know, every few months or something, but I cannot have sugar. It just fucks with my brain too much and my body.
Last night we went to a place called Willie's, and we had a massive appetizer sampler platter with fried mushrooms, fried jalapenos, fried pickles, mozzarella sticks, and onion rings. And then for myself, I got a fried catfish with French fries. I drank a high C with it. And then when I came home, my mother-in-law fixed me a big bowl of mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Nice dessert.
How does your mouth baby not hurt after that?
It's okay. It's okay. Sid takes pills to lower his cholesterol.
Yeah, that's right. I did. I made sure to take my...
Did you double down on the pills?
No, I just one a day.
I don't know if that's how it works, Sid. Sorry to tell you, I'm not a doctor, but I think
we're all gonna die eventually. I'm not sweating it too much.
He was doing all that shit before, and now he has the pills. So
yeah, it's not gonna be worse.
See, like my mental thought process alternates between what Sid says and what Noah says. Because, like, on the one hand, it's like, oh, my body's my temple; I have to take care of it, you know. But on the other hand, there's like a nihilistic part of me that thinks because I'm such a giant and that my body requires so much more resources, I'm not sticking around. You know, I'm not sticking around. I'm going to die. Like, there's a chance I can die in my 50s. You know, like, it's a possibility.
I mean, there's a chance anyone could die in their 50s.
Well, the reason I think this is my uncle, who we jokingly affectionately
R.I.P. a legend.
No, Uncle Gana, my Russian, my uncle on my mother's side. He's the one who physically looks the most like me, just same body type. Like, he looks like he could be my dad, basically. And he died in his 50s of like a stomach cancer. And it's like there's this part of me that's like, I'm gonna go that way. It's gonna be that or arthritis. Like, something's gonna get me. My body will not be able to handle it. So it's like, on the one hand, it's like, well, I better keep my body in the best shape I can keep it to prolong that. But on the other hand, it's like, oh, I'm dying anyway. Might as well just enjoy it.
But when Gana was your age, he didn't know what you know today. So you don't have to live his destiny, you know?
He took care of himself. He was like, you know, a fit guy. He would like,
yeah,
I'm not sure if he worked out.
Did he know
out,
about diet stuff, like the information that we have today about certain
foods
available?
Did he have keto?
Yeah, I don't think he did keto. I don't think he did a plant-based meals as much as I did.
Yoga. Did Gina do hot yoga?
I don't do hot
Schwitz?
Yoga.
Did he Bikram? Schwitz like you?
Oh, he absolutely schwitzed. He was the one who took me to my first bathhouse, actually.
No. Get the authorities on the line.
Oh, stop it. It was a Russian bathhouse, so it had a giant pool, and I just hung out in the pool, and then like he would be with his friends in the banya, in the sauna, and I would go in there and I would just be like, what the hell are you guys doing in here? It's so hot. It's like, there's a pool. You could be having fun in the pool. And yeah, maybe they're all giving each other handies. Who knows?
Rob, could we get an alternate line reading on that? What the hell are you guys doing in here? It's so hot. Like an alternate line reading.
Put a comma.
What the hell are you guys doing in here? It's so hot.
It's so like the beginning of a porn scene.
I don't think that banya exists anymore. It was somewhere in Brooklyn, and there's only one Russian
Mayor Koch had it shut down in the 80s.
Yeah. No, it was in the 90s. But there was one Russian banya. There is one more Russian banya in Brooklyn still.
There's
got to
be more than one in Brighton.
Oh, there's only one. There's none on Brighton. It's on like Avenue C or Avenue D or like.
It's like something. In someone's apartment. It's illegal.
Not going out on that. No, it's huge. It's like a huge warehouse.
I know what it is.
I think it's pronounced
whorehouse.
It's a unisex place. So because of COVID, they're closed. You know, you can't have group hangs, which by the way, like, look, for me personally, that's one of my, like, I'm just ready for bathhouses to open again.
Washy washy, happy, happy.
Like, vaccinated only. Let's do what we need to do. I'm set. I want to get a schmitz in. But so a friend of the show is Greg Visha told me that this bathhouse, while closed, I don't know if I should say this on air. This might be an under the table type thing. You can like privately rent it out, and just you and your party go, and so you basically have the whole place to yourself. So let's go, guys.
Live cast orgy.
But seriously, like, who would you go with? Like, I know you're facetiously inviting us, but.
Who's your dream bathhouse guest list, Rob?
Well, it's a Russian bathhouse, so it's not nude. So
Jamie Josta.
Anybody wants to come. It's not a sexual thing or anything.
I don't think it's sexual. I just that's
or
not,
like
not
gender.
My scene. It's not like I'm scared of to do it. I just don't like. You know,
sweating and.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were
you saying? Who would you?
Anybody wants to come?
Top five dead or alive, Rob? Let's go.
In the metal community.
Okay, let's see. Who would I want?
I would do it for the show, actually.
If I'm picking metal musicians, and by the way, let's point this question to our audience too. Send us an email, hatemail at metalinjection.net. Who do you want to go to a bathhouse with? Metal musicians, us. You could also send a voice memo instead of an email.
Does it have to be present day, or could I say like late 1970s Ozzy Osbourne?
This is
our next draft bonus episode. We draft our perfect
bathhouse crew.
So Ozzy might be rejuvenated if you put him in the schmitz.
Exactly.
Get some moisture in that body.
From first person that comes to mind is Peter Steele.
Of course.
He seems like someone who would enjoy a schmitz.
He would hit his head on the entryway.
Yeah, he would take up a lot of the tub.
And then everybody would trip over his big whacker.
Schwitz, 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 number one.
She likes the Schwitz.
I'm trying to think who else. James Hetfield. It'd be nice to have a Schwitz with James.
Okay. Maybe we need to be specific. Like, choosing someone from the metal community who would actually come.
Lane Staley.
Oh, well, that's not fun. Well,
wait,
I would
how
go
do you
with,
mean would actually come, Noah?
Like someone that I know, you mean? Like someone
that would accept the invitation.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Dave Grohl.
Yeah, we're buddies. Trevor from Black Dahlia Murder. I go with him. I've seen him basically naked anyway.
Breaking news.
Oh, look, like on a tour somewhere? He just walked around.
No, he just walked around topless.
Naked, topless.
Basically naked. I said basically naked.
You've seen all of us topless. Oh, I mean, yeah. Anyway.
No, I've seen no. No,
I didn't know if you I didn't know if you want to say that. Yeah.
I think we talked about the show.
Oh yeah, yeah.
When she got her piercing, she flashed us. Mm-hmm. Show off the pierce. Like
the first week of the live cast or something, right? Right in the beginning. Wasn't it?
It was in 2004.
Oh, I guess. Okay, so it was before.
Because I just remember based on where Metal Injection was.
No, you remember because you went and you live journaled about it.
Did you really?
I have to look it up. No, I don't think I did.
That's how you knew she was boobalicious.
That's right. I went with Noah to get her titties.
Yeah,
tears.
And some guy who looked like Slash did it.
That's and I was bummed because they moved the curtain when they were doing it. It's like, oh, well, why'd I come?
Yeah, that was the whole point.
I was like, oh, all right.
are you over it?
Do you regret it, Noah? Or it was fun at the time?
I mean, I have, there's like nothing to really regret because there's nothing that really happened substantially. but it was just like a stupid thing to do for sure.
We're bringing Rob or getting your nipples.
No, I'm glad that I brought Rob because he has a good memory and he remembers all of my memories better than I do.
Rob, do you remember how much the piercings cost? I assume
no,
you made you
remember.
Pay in order to come
also,
along.
Also, I only remember things from like 20 years ago. I don't remember anything from like 10 years ago, you know, or like the last year or 2 years or whatever. Like just these long-term memories that are baked into my database.
Remember that first bathhouse trip?
That's my cutest.
I don't remember my first. All I remember about the bathhouse is my cousin went with me. And I was such a fucking idiot. I was like 5 or 6 at the time. He told me that at the deep end of the pool, I couldn't go there because there was a shark. And I believed him. I believed there was a shark in the fucking pool.
It's probably just like a 60-year-old guy that groped everyone. Which is probably worse than a shark.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's its own kind of shark.
That's right. It was my princess.
That's the 60-year-old guy in the pool.
Oh, no. Terrifying.
Okay. Oh, who cares?
So, I haven't really talked about heavy metal. I guess that's fine, right?
Well, I'm okay with it.
Special episode.
I just heard the baby got in trouble. What was the story with that?
This is very strange. He went on some rant at, what was it? Rolling Loud? Is that the name of the fest?
Yeah, it was a hip-hop fest in outside of the Hard Rock Stadium. And he said something like flippantly like...
It's probably on YouTube. We should just play the whole clip, let him speak for himself. Because he says a lot of weird stuff in that like 10-second clip.
Let me look it up.
Who is the baby?
A rapper. I've never heard his work. Is he good, Rob? Is he a good rapper? Darren?
I'm not familiar with
him. I know James Harden is very good friends with him. So I hope this doesn't somehow negatively reflect on Brooklyn Net James Harden.
Sounds like everything else that's not like popular hip-hop right now.
The only thing of his, he has a song with Doja Cat, and I really like Doja Cat. So.
Which song? Kiss Me More?
It's
Levitate. The baby, kiss me deadly.
Levitating. I'm levitating.
Isn't that Dua Lipa? That's Dua Lipa. Levitating.
I'm sorry. Dua Lipa. That's right.
Or is it Dua Lipa and Doja Cat?
No. It's Dua Lipa and the baby. It's Dua Lipa featuring Doja Cat and the baby and Nicki Minaj.
What language are you speaking?
English. Dua Lipa is great. I very much enjoy her album.
I like Dua Lipa. The first time you mentioned Dua Lipa, I was like, and then.
Yeah, I really. I
like her too, but it's just funny, like all the funny words you were saying.
Yeah. She did I think I might have mentioned this on the show. She did like an NPR Tiny Desk concert. And the way she performed her singles on that, I like better than the album versions because it's with a live band and the band is so funky. It's good. Okay, so I found the DaBaby rants, which, by the way, I think DaBaby is officially the worst name for an artist.
Also, because what if he gets to be like 55 and he's doing like these reunion tours and stuff? And he's called DaBaby.
You know how we make that name better?
No.
Add Daniel to the end of it.
Why are you kidding, DaBaby? 55 years old, the rapper.
Has the Iron Sheik weighed in on this controversy? I know.
I'll check.
I talked to the baby. He said, Sheik baby, we have it in the same name. Come to the Georgia. Drink with me. Have a Budweiser. And then you kill it, the baby Daniel. No good piece of shit.
Yeah, let me play the clip here. Do you see it?
Yes. I don't hear it, though.
Yeah.
Ooh, a boom. Hold on. It says, the baby went on a boomer-style homophobic rant. Now I'm excited to hear this. Because, well, how is he a boomer? Like, what's the boomer part?
Well, here, we'll take a listen. Can you hear it?
with HIV, AIDS, any of them deadly sexually transmitted diseases.
Let's be real.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Hold on. Let me. It's
gone. Oh, I see.
You didn't show up today with HIV, AIDS, any of them deadly sexually transmitted diseases. That'll make you die in 2-3 weeks. Put a cell phone light in the air. Lady, if your pussy smell like water, put a cell phone light in the air. Fellas.
Lights up.
Fellas, if you ain't sucking niggas dick in the parking lot, put your cell phone light in the air.
Let's be real about this shit. Jeez.
Wait,
what?
Keep it fucking real.
Tell me y'all niggas.
So at first he says...
What's he saying? I can't
understand. He's saying if you don't have HIV, AIDS, or any of those diseases that kill you in 2 or 3 weeks, put those lighters up. Ladies, if your vagina smell like water, if your vagina doesn't smell bad, put your lighters up.
Mm-hmm.
Fellas, if you're not sucking some D in the parking lot, put your lighters up.
I like that comment there that replied, because he's like Eminem. You know, notice that this man did not have his lighter up.
that's
disgusting. But like, how is that even stage banter? Like, what?
Yeah, I don't know what. Like,
know.
What does it have to do with anything?
Even taking out the homophobic part. That's terrible. Put it to the side for a second. What is like compelling about, like, even if he had said like normal things and not homophobic things? That's such a weak stage banter, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, if he didn't say homophobic, say it without the homophobia. What do you mean?
I don't know. Well, you said if your pussy smells like water. Like, that's the one thing that wasn't homophobic.
Well, yeah, it's misogynist, too, yes.
All right. The Sonoma's lighter is not in the air.
All right, if you wear, like, you know, right guard roll-on deodorant.
Yeah, it was just – here's the thing. It was, like, the dumbest fucking thing. I kind of feel like at this
– And also, people don't die of AIDS in 3 weeks anymore.
Exactly.
That's not a thing.
No, yeah,
people, that's the boomer part, is that he doesn't even know, like, the current status of these –
Yes.
Yeah, what's that, drug?
PrEP, it's called.
PrEP.
Well, no one in the United States gets it. Everyone, like people outside of the
Fair.
United States.
But
well,
in Miami,
they don't have the drugs.
Yeah.
No one who's at a concert is going to get it.
Yeah, it's no longer a death sentence. And it hasn't been for a while. So that's weird. And there's no disease. There's no sexually transmitted disease where you will die in 2 to 3 weeks. It just seems like he's very, very misinformed and uneducated. And he said something terribly stupid. And then the video went
so viral
that, like, I saw even Madonna, like, posted a thing. Yeah, like, everyone's like, actually, DaBaby, no. You know, which, look, I'm not going to take it. Like, it's so silly to make this a thing. It made it a worse thing than it was.
Here's my real question. Yeah. Which song are DaBaby and Elton John going to duet on at the Grammys next year?
Yes,
when they like
when they hug
he barely lost a bunch of bookings, like a few festivals dropped him, like he got dropped off Lollapalooza, and then after all of that he came around with, like, you know, one of those apologies about, like, oh, things move so fast on social media, and I apologize for my — here's what he said: social media moves so fast that people want to demolish you before you even have the opportunity to grow, educate, and learn from your mistakes.
Just
as a man.
I think he's right.
No, I didn't say that what he said is factually incorrect or anything. It's just like, don't do that. Like, it's so weak. Like, you know what I mean?
Let me read the rest of it. As a man who has had to make his own way from very difficult circumstances, having people I know publicly working against me, knowing that what I needed was education on these topics and guidance, has been challenging. That's the whole thing?
That's it?
You're expecting more?
The end. Signed, DaBaby.
He lost all those bookings, so he couldn't pay the PR firm anymore, like, for extra sentences.
I guess he also apologized for the hurtful and triggering comments. There was that as well.
Well, they're triggering because there was, like, a gun cocking sound playing in the background as he was saying them. So I think that's what he meant by triggering.
I came from bad circumstances, so please forgive me. Sign the baby. P.S. Gatan Dugas.
Ultimately, I agree with you, Noah. I do think that social media, like, blows shit way out of proportion. Things get trending. Everyone has a take. Most people with a take probably didn't even watch the video. They just saw the baby made homophobic remark. I agree with you. Absolutely. It's a problem. But the way to avoid that problem is to not say something incredibly stupid like that. Like, he had to say that thing
for the video to exist to go viral.
Oh,
so don't create a moment to go viral.
There's another part of that video, by the way, where someone in the audience throws a fucking shoe at his head after he says it, and he barely dodges the shoe. If you could find that part, that's awesome. Because the audience was not particularly into what he was saying. It wasn't like they were cool in the moment.
So
and
the
then he had blowback later.
The baby is like George W. DeBush.
Yes, yes.
I guess I'm just like torn because I don't, I think like that cancel culture is really bad. And it's like, what if he just had that there in his live show and he dealt with the audience and people threw shit at him and booed him and all that. And that's it. Like, I'm not sure how I feel about it getting escalated. And then like, again, with the bombardment of like social media and like spins and then other people having their two cents on it who are not even a part of it, like Madonna. I don't know. I just,
my thing with this is like, these are modern artists use social media to the fullest to make every penny they can. So if you get all the benefit from it, you should also get all the blowback that it comes
with
it as well.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree with what you're saying. Like it sucks that it's like that. But it's like that. So don't put yourself in a position to get caught in that whirlwind. You know, like it seems, don't say something stupid and then you won't be canceled.
And also don't give me this horse shit about like he has to be educated. Like he knows that's the wrong thing to say. He's being a shock jock. Like
100%.
To rile up the crowd and like get
like he didn't know that that's a fucked up thing to say. You know what I mean? Like
that's what I mean about the apology. The apology is some horse shit. Stand by what you said. Like,
yeah.
Here's the shoe.
Hello.
Ladies,
if the shoe you're throwing at me stinks, slide up your cell phone right now.
Fuck through that motherfucking bust-ass goddamn Adidas.
Adidas.
I love that since it was one shoe, he thinks Adidas is plural. So since it was only one, he said
I love
Adidas.
That. I love that.
We love the baby again.
I like the baby now.
Why don't you throw both Adidas at me?
Also, I think the other thing I want to say, Noah, to your point about being canceled, I feel like the word canceled has a very loose meaning. You know, like... He lost a few gigs, but you could still listen to his music on Spotify. You could still, you know what I mean? Like you could still
who knows? It might escalate even further. This train just keeps moving.
I don't know.
Along.
I think the trending topic is like fading. You know what I mean? It's not like it's carrying on. If he doubled down on it, absolutely. But he didn't. So, like, he's still making money. He still has a job. He'll be fine in a few months, you know? Like, he'll fucking do something maybe with, like, Lil Nas X or something. Not to say that Lil Nas X would do it, but, you know, like, he'll have some sort of redemption arc, and he'll be okay.
He'll have a PR cleanup.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
Tosh.0.
I feel like with most people who are canceled, they're fine. Louis C.K., he's touring. He put out a stand-up thing. He's making money. Like, he's fine.
He's still rich. He's just not as rich as he used to be.
Yeah, like...
Which is fine.
It's not, like, what's an example of someone being canceled where, like, their career is over?
Regular people get canceled. They say one wrong thing on Twitter, and then their lives are...
Yes, that I'm very against, especially, like, people who have to, like, lose their job over a dumb tweet, you know, like, over something stupid.
Right.
I'm not into that.
Or worse, stuff they said, like 11 years ago when they were in high school or something.
Yeah, I agree. I think I don't think you should use something somebody said. Like, the time is relevant to the context. And kind of reminds me of the Woodstock documentary, which is going to be our next Patreon roundtable, because they do a lot of, they take a lot of the stuff that happened in 1999 and they judge it based on today's standards. And it's like, you can't do that. You know, like, you got to judge it based on 99 cents. I have a lot of problems with the Woodstock documentary.
I haven't seen it yet.
So I want you guys to watch it so we could talk about it.
When are we going to do this?
Whenever you guys watch it. You guys watch it, then let's get on the horn.
Okay.
Get on the horn.
I think we should also do another Hall of Fame. It's about that time.
Yeah. Woo!
You sound like Ivan Moody with the woof.
Oh, no.
Do you want to read the listener mail that we got?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, off of our rundown.
Yes. I absolutely. No, you know, I have to say, you're a real, really sidetrack us here. You know, last week we had a few metal stories we talked about. Less personal stuff. You come on, all personal stuff. How dare you?
No, but personal stuff is the best.
No, I know. I had a good time. I'm just teasing.
Oh, get out of here.
We'll riff tease.
Okay, bye.
Oh.
Rob said he doesn't want you on. I didn't.
Oh, no, she left. Rob.
No.
She's back.
Just kidding.
funny okay.
Your internet went out right there.
Grab one of the guinea fowls outside the window and have that be fourth mic.
Anytime you say that, like, my heart drops. Sid, you can't say
it. I know.
What's they're called? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They're hideous accidents of nature.
Okay, so this hate mail is from friend of the show, and his name is Dan. And Dan tells us, "Hi, guys." That's how it's written. He says, straight to the point, I was lucky enough to go on a date with a lovely, beautiful Israeli woman recently, and the Metal Injection live cast helped me out. Dan goes on to say that the fact that I knew anything about Iranian Jewish history over the last 50 years impressed big time. Noah talking about Israel opened up plenty of I've heard in Israel questions to keep the conversation going. She also spoke to how Israelis always seem to find each other wherever they are. Thanks in part to the knowledge bestowed upon me from you guys, we had a fantastic night out. Many heathen blessings upon you all, and to all a one. So that's very awesome.
I said goodbye.
We love hearing from our live cast stars about how useless knowledge that they learn from our show helps them on dates. This isn't the first time we've heard this. Hopefully not the last.
This is when useless becomes useful.
Exactly. Noah, do you have any opinions on this topic? And any other Israeli factoids you could bring up on another date?
Well, first of all, I just want to say I really, really was impressed with how he started that email. It was like very chivalrous. And he probably had a good date because that's the kind of person that he is. Not so much because of these little factoids.
Wait, just because he started with hi, guys?
No, and after that.
Oh, that he was lucky enough to go on a date with a lovely, beautiful Israeli.
Yes, woman. That's so sweet. Ask her if she ever goes shopping on Dizengoff.
What's that?
You'll have to get the answer from him when he asks her.
I think that means on her period.
Ask her if you ever listen to any fine Israeli
musica.
Ask her if her favorite radio channel is Galgalat.
Radio Galgalat. Dizengoff is a Israeli hummusia. I didn't even know that was a word.
What?
Is that like a, where you go to get hummus? Like,
yeah.
Hummusaria?
Like a hummusteria.
Dizengoff is a main street where there's a lot of like shops and stuff.
Oh, well, there's Dizengoff hummus then. There's a nice hummus spot on that. Hummusaria. So good to know.
Wow. Just play that the first time you bring it back to your bedroom. Just put right as you start going down on her, just hit play on that track. If she stays, if she lets you continue, then you've got to keep
her. I can't hear you.
Trying to do his dirty talk while the Shira choir is playing.
That's what they were chanting when Rob went to the bathhouse the first time as they ushered him in. The prodigal son returning to the bathhouse.
Mashiach.
Come on in, Rob. Welcome back.
So let's see what else. Okay, so that's the hate mail. I don't think we got any other hate mail. Let me just double check.
Wow, it's like no matter how many times we listen to that song, there's always something new to take from it or that we're learning.
What I took from it is I could hear the spit coming out of his mouth.
It's ASMR again.
Oh, he's hucking.
Yeah.
Are you hucking? What does hucking mean, Noah?
Wait, no, like hack, like to hack.
I know, but he says hucking if you listen to it.
I think...
Hucking with COVID.
I honestly, he's speaking Yiddish, so I don't know what he's
Yiddish.
Saying.
What was I going to say? Oh, okay. We got another hate mail from Rob. He goes, who are your favorite bands not inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? And does it matter as is the Hall of Fame even relevant? He says his favorites are Wasp, Foreigner, Iron Maiden, and Manowar. These are bands not in the Hall of Fame that are his favorites.
Weird Al Yankovic.
I bet he gets inducted eventually, right?
No. I can't understand how he's not.
I guess he already would be then.
Yeah, he's already eligible. For me, yeah, like Judas Priest. I feel like there was a class this year where like so many of the bands, I was like, oh, this could be cool, and then none of them got in.
I don't know, Death. I feel like Death should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but they'll probably not let him in.
What? By what criteria do you think they should be in?
Their music.
They created. Like, they created a new genre of heavy metal.
But it's a genre that nobody who votes for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame knows exists.
Yeah, that's why I think they'll never make it.
Yeah.
That's like. Go
ahead. No, go ahead.
Is that how they let people in, like, based that they created a genre?
Well, that it's like a seminal release that, you know, changed
like
length.
A pivotal moment in heavy metal history.
And as for does it matter and is the Hall of Fame even relevant, I will say the Hall of Fame ultimately is not relevant. It's just like another excuse for like an award show to have like, and that's why it's not. Like, I don't take it personally. Like, every year people are like, how is this band not, like, how is Iron Maiden not in the Hall? It's a shanda that Iron Maiden is not in the Hall of Fame. Like, who cares? Like, Iron Maiden is they're fucking billionaires. They're fine. Yeah. But I do think the bands care. Like, Iron Maiden, on some level, probably do care. Or
yeah,
do.
I agree.
And it's like one of those things where even if they say they don't care, they secretly do want the acknowledgement. But I don't think it matters one way or the other.
Like what you said, you know, they are millionaires, billionaires many times over, no matter what. So what else do you have to attain at that point?
Right.
Other than getting put in the Hall of Fame, you know?
Yeah, are they going to sell that many more records? That's really the only way it would matter is if it leads to more album sales. Otherwise,
right.
These are bands that have been around, like you have to. Your first release has to be 25 years ago to even be eligible, right? So, like, the success they've had, they've already had it. So, like, this is the big break for some band. Gotta get to the
Oh, who cares?
You all right, Rob?
Okay.
Who gives a fuck?
You still thinking about your top 5 bathhouse guests?
Ha, 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 ha. All right.
Al Yankovic.
That would be fun. That
I would
be like
that.
A new,
you know,
like, video interview series you do on Metal Injection. It's just you and someone, like a musician at a bathhouse.
That would be great with like a towel over our crotches.
That's a justification to rent out that bathhouse. You could use the Metal Injection budget. You don't have to pay for it yourself.
Where it's circle, Schwitz.
Yeah.
You know?
That'll be a great series, Rob.
You and X-Pac. And nothing but towels.
X-Pac and Weird Al could be on the same episode and it'll curl back their hair up the way it used to be. Both of them. Because of the schwitz, the heat.
I think that's a winner. I think we have a winner on our hands.
So, talk about the Metal Injection Livecast music break.
Oh.
Every week, we pick a few songs. Each one of us picks a song, and we add it to our Spotify playlist called the Metal Injection Livecast Music Break. Since we don't do the music break on the show.
Just play Mashiach on the show. That's the music break.
Hocken. Hocken. Oh, yeah, Hocken.
This is the least metal podcast. That's a metal podcast.
So here, the track that I picked for this is from Mogwai. And Mogwai is an amazing band from Sweden. And they're one of those bands that I really got into maybe 10, 15 years ago. And then I sort of like forgot about them. And then about a year ago, I was like, I loved Mogwai. Why did I stop listening to them? You know, and then I really got back into them in the last year. And they put out an album this year called As the Love Continues. And I really enjoyed it. It's not really metal. It's more like ambient rock or, I don't know, Swedish rock.
Rob, can I ask you a question? I don't know if this is a thing or not. You guys can let me know if this is a thing. Mogwai, is that a thing? Is that something?
Should be now. Mogwai. Dry Fantasy is the song that I picked.
Ooh.
Rob, here's a quiz for you. What does Mogwai mean? Don't look it up.
Isn't it an animal?
Sort of. There's more to it.
That's my answer.
Oh.
It's an animal.
It's what the real name of what the gremlins were in the movie Gremlins.
Mm.
Ah, yes. I remember I looked it up once. Nothing else. Okay, so Darren, what did you pick?
I picked Slayer. The song A Temptation.
I've heard of them.
Seasons in the Abyss, 1990. One of the best breakdown riffs that I've ever heard in my life is in that song. And I was just listening to it, and I just said, this would be good to play on our list, so I did it.
Noah, what did you pick?
I picked a band called Sleep Waker, which is probably a band that I wouldn't really listen to, but... because they're more like metalcore, but they have this like electronic sound that kind of reminds me of like, I don't know, maybe like a blend of like Rammstein with a metalcore band. And it was just like something interesting that I hadn't really heard before. So the song that I picked is 110 minutes. And I think they have a new album that just came out in July.
The song is 110 yeah. minutes? Yeah, or it's actually 110 minutes long.
No, the song is called 110 minutes.
Whew. That's all right.
Thank goodness.
I liked it. Sid?
I picked the song What a Life by Juliana Hatfield because it randomly popped into my head last night, and I like that song very much. That's all.
What a life.
All right. Well, as we wrap up, it's time for our top livecast fans of the week. And to be a top livecast fan of the week, you just simply have to subscribe to our Patreon at the $10 tier. You get all the fun stuff for the $5 tier. And then you get a little extra, get a little shout out at the end of the show. And so let's do it. How should we do it?
Do it like a guinea would. Just kidding.
Oh, you mean Noah, just so we don't get letters.
I meant like a bird, the bird behind Sid.
Is there like a YouTube clip of just guinea sounds that you could play in the background while you read the shout out?
Rob, totally unrelated. You should do it like Steven Seagal doing the anybody seen Richie.
Let's see. There we go.
My favorite thing about the guineas is the...
Oh, no.
No.
I don't want to hear you. I just want to hear the guinea.
What was
dramatic
that?
Guinea.
It sounded ominous.
Bob searching through Italian fetish porn.
Good thing he already had that bookmarked.
I just want to hear the guinea.
All right, I want to give a shout-out to Eric, Rabba Ganoush, a.k.a. Justin, Benjamin, El Deuterino, Dan R., Mindy Mayers Kippa, Croc Destroyer, Cattle Decaf, Samexy, IMXy, IE Sexy, Jander, Shasur Shasusis, The Crustacean Sensation, a.k.a. Goth Stumper, Dallas, Rob of Vampiro, Hugo Likes Tacos, Lando Danks, LaCroix, Scooby-Doo 182, and Douglas, how are you, Levison? Thank you to our top livecast fans. Thank you to all of our livecast stars. We love you. We appreciate that you listen. Please rate and review our stuff on your podcast player of choice. And until next week, a goodbye. A goodbye. Goodbye.
The recording has stopped.
Okay.
Pretty cool that pretty much every single link we had for tonight we could use next week.
Yeah, amazing.
Man.
Whatever, it was funny.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Good to learn about Darren's colon, his barbecue, Rob's cousin, and his prankster ways.
That top five bathhouse guests is definitely a good social
that,
media.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame question, too, I thought.
Yeah.
Use that.
What's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame question?
What band
email?
We think should... Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We can't hear you, Darren.
Hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, like, you mean just ask the question, or are you going to put the clip up?
The clip.
No, put the clip.
Okay. And then we could ask the question when we post the clip.
All right. Hall of Fame, and what was the other one?
The bathhouse guests. Is there anything else?
Everything else was like very like inside baseball.
Yeah.
Unless Darren wants to share his colon story.
Yeah. Can't hear you again.
Can't hear you.
I don't know if it's that interesting outside the context of the show.
Yeah. Everything kind of went along with the story.
Maybe we could just post it as like a PSA. Darren reminding you, get that ass checked. We're talking about it.
Yeah. All right. Good show. See you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.